Anyhow, we stopped at quite a few towns and cities on the way back. In about the middle of the country, we visited a very successful dairy farm where they supplied milk to the city that was quite close there, I don't quite remember. And in Cuba, the dairy business has been very successful, and they have lots of ice cream and yogurt. You meet people on the street while you're eating yogurt as well as ice cream. As we were driving across the country, I was looking for this Puerto Tarrafa. I just remembered the name. I never did find out where it was in Cuba, but that's where my husband and his great friend Harry Hines, who had been the first organizer of the Marine Workers Industrial Union way back in the late 20s and early 30s, anyway, in about 1932 or 3, the two, Harry and Mac, had taken the same ship to Cuba. There was a strike going on. They had another dictator at that time. I think his name was Machado at that time. And this town, the port of Tarrafa, there was a general strike. Everything was out there, and Harry was such a good organizer. He and Mac covered all the foreign ships that were in port and got them to support the strike of the Cubans in that town. And Harry was actually on the strike committee of the town. Anyway, the strike was won, but something happened politically. When Mac and Harry were on the way back on the ship, they got the news that the whole strike committee that they had worked with had been hung, including the in this part of Tarrafa, including the beautiful young woman who was a translator for them.
No.
So that's what had been going on in Cuba all these years. Anyway, I never did find where that was. Now, when we got back to Havana, this Mariel boat lift was going on, and it was really something. People in our hotel, there were a few people who wanted to leave, and they weren't afraid to talk to us and tell us everything. Fortunately, I could understand Spanish, and I could talk a little bit, but everybody that I had met that wanted to go back, either they had relatives in the States, or they just had heard that everybody in the United States was a millionaire, and if they went there, they were going to be a millionaire too. And you know, in Cuba, the people were mostly, the poor people were helped a lot. They were very, very happy. They didn't have too wonderful food. I mean, it was rationed. The food was very good. They gave us, the tourists, too much food, I think. There was a boycott. The United States, they were used to trading with them, getting all their food, getting all their spare parts, getting everything. And the United States put this boycott on. They couldn't get anything. They couldn't get spare parts. I don't know how they kept the cars they had gotten in the United States. By the way, they were buying the buses that they were using there, which were very nice, were being built in Argentina.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, with this Marinel thing, we saw some trouble. There was a building, the United States Interest Building. They didn't have an embassy then because they didn't have relations, but they had an interest building. And a crowd had collected in that wanted to leave in the American Interest, and they started throwing stones or something to the onlookers outside, and the onlookers outside, you know, were yelling at them, Vayase, they used a word that means garbage, it wasn't that sure, but anyway, and there were signs around the town. Now, it's very interesting, there's not a picture or a picture of any of the leadership, you don't ever see, because they don't believe in a person that is still alive, you know, and playing him up very much.
Yeah.
But the people did come up to some of the people that in our tour too, you know, asking about the
United
States.
Did you have television?
Oh, well, there was television on every floor in the hotel. And there you could see what was going on, where the boats were being filled up.
They had the whole thing on television.
Yes, they had the whole thing on television, and they had then the Cuban people all over in groups yelling, Vayase, you know. Get out, good riddance of bad rubbish, in other words, they were saying in Spanish.
Yeah.
And then we...
did you have radio at all?
We had shortwave radio in every room. So we could get programs from the United States and England.
So you heard their account of it, too.
Yeah, so we heard we heard anything. That was very exciting. Anyway, while we were in Havana this time, they took us to a housing project. There's still a lot of people that need housing, but they're building it very rapidly, and they're mostly prefabricated.
Mm-hmm.
They get a lot of this prefabricated housing from the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw machines all over town, big heavy machines that were doing this and that. In fact, they now have most of the cutting is done by sugarcane machines.
Mm-hmm.
When we were there, it was 50-50. 50% was still being done by hand, and 50% by machine, yes. And they took us to a sugarcane mountain. Now, this, it was really like a mountain made of not refined sugar, but they ship most of the sugar out in the natural form. It's in the same form, but it is a light tannish gray.
Yeah.
And this is all inside, it's housed so it won't get wet, this tremendous big mountain. And it's arranged so that the trucks come in and they unload by under the truck is a grating. The truck opens up and the sugar goes down there and it goes on a belt and goes up into this mountain and then is put on the ships that come in at the other end here, and this is it's taken by belts and taken on in there. Anyway, Cuba, we had quite a time getting out because for some reason this private little company that was taking care of all the tourists going to Cuba. Somebody in the United States, some organization, was making it difficult for them. So whenever people left, there were problems. And for instance, our ship was to leave, I think it was about 5 or 6 in the afternoon. Well, it didn't come, and we got announcements, and somebody came from the tour organization in the United States and told us that they expected it around midnight. Well, finally, around 1 o'clock, they took us to what had been the Hilton Hotel, a new hotel, and we all just get in bed when they knock on the door and say, well, the plane is here. So about 2 or 2:30 in the morning, we get on the plane. They're quite small planes. I think it was 2 small planes. Anyway, we get back to
18 seats or 50 seats.
Well, there was 18 seats on one plane. There was another tour, a Guardian tour, was at the same time. There was 18 on one plane, and the other plane took only about 6 people.
Oh, yeah.
But between the two, all of our group got on. And so we got in early in the morning into Miami, and Mary and I decided that we would like to stop, and we would like to go to Isla Mujeres, which is right off the Yucatan, so we got a ticket to Cancun. We took a bus ride through Cancun. We didn't care for it too much because it's flat there. It wasn't too interesting, the geography, I think, and one luxury hotel after another. But we went to this area near there, a few miles, and took a little boat to Isla Mujeres. And now Isla Mujeres, automobiles are not allowed. And it was very attractive, little shops and little restaurants, and we got a nice room right over the ocean in the back. We would went swimming right near there, and we were just there a couple of days, and bought a few things. And then we took a plane back to, we got back to Montenegro. Well, I began thinking about, I was missing terribly all the political discussions we used to have in Guadalajara, because most of the progressive-minded people we knew there, and we would
have little groups for you.
And we would have all sorts of groups and always discussing the world situation. And at the same time, I was getting, I had felt all the time that I should be in the United States doing what I could, and so I decided I should really get active in the peace movement because, it needed people terribly. It really looked as if things were going from bad to worse. I didn't exactly know where to go, but about this time I got a letter from a very good friend of mine, Virginia, who told me that this friend of hers, Elizabeth, was running a progressive bookstore and very badly needed some more help, volunteer help that was. And I thought, well, that's fine. It's in Long Beach where I have been. I know a few people in that area. And a bookstore sounded interesting. I wanted something where I would have a little regular work to do. And
a regular
then I
routine.
Could get... find out what was going on there and get active. So I drove up in my car with a friend from Montenegro who had a house there. Her name was Wanda. And we had a very interesting trip up. We first drove to Puerto Vallarta because we had telephoned them and expected to get on the ferry going to Cabo San Lucas. That's the southern tip of Baja California, then we were to drive up from there. Well, when we got to Puerto Vallarta, there were too many cars, and they said, you know, we should have gotten there the day before. So we didn't get on that trip, and we just thought we would have to drive up. Well, we drove up to Tepic, spent the night there, and the next day arrived in Mazatlan after having some trouble with the car, the water pump, it seemed something was the matter with that. I didn't know it at the time, but we stopped and I got the radiator all cleaned out. It was just like red mud coming out of it. And the fellow that was running the station, he had a whole line of cars, so he couldn't really take care of it. But he showed me where the water was, and I kept on putting in the new, we washed it out ourselves. Yeah. And we finally got to Mazatlan and said, well, there's a car going to let's just go and see if we can get on to La Paz.
Yeah.
And we just made it in time, and we got taken.
Yeah.
And that was quite a nice trip. We had a nice little stateroom, and they had restaurants and everything on the ship. So the next morning, overnight, so we got in the morning fairly early, and we took a little trip around looking at the town, and Wanda wanted to do a little shopping. Both of us got a few things we needed or presents, and then we started off and drove up to Baja California. I drove all the way because she knew how to drive, but she hadn't had a car and driven for some years. And I didn't get tired. We just took it at our own, I've forgotten how many days it took, but we just took it easy and made maybe 300 miles a day. And actually, you can drive up there and not see anybody all day, except the car will pass you now and then, and the car coming down now and then. But fortunately, nothing happened to the car except where we could get it taken care of. I mean, we stayed at a wonderful little oasis. I've forgotten the name. Oh, well, first we stayed at Loreto. Used to be the capital of Baja California. That was a small town. We avoided, they have hotel presidents all the way up, but we didn't have to stay at any of those. We stayed at more reasonable places. And we found this little place in Loreto, which was put up by the government. And, that was quite a shocking thing we did there, because we had this little room. It was brand new and clean, had double-decker beds, you know, bunk beds, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it was new, so that there were these lines of buildings. One would be out a little bit, this building out a little, the next in a little, the next out a little. Every row was exactly the same, and every row and every room was numbered the same, instead of being consecutive numbers or anything. And the next morning, I went out early to look at the car and put some water in the radiator, when I noticed that underneath all the water had gone out. I mean, something was really vitally wrong. So anyway, we walked back to get our suitcases, and we got to the room. We couldn't get in the room, so we found this gardener who had come on early, and he threw the screen, he opened the door, and we got in, and our suitcases went there. So we went to see the management. This was about 6:30. And we said, oh, we've been robbed, not a thing. So they came back, they took our key, and of course we were at the wrong building. We were at the right wrong building. The shrubbery was the same, the little dirt path going was the same. And we just felt so ridiculous, and of course they got a big kick out of that, and joked about the next time they saw gringos coming, they would let them in. But anyway, they told us where a mechanic was, which was just down the street from there, and we went there and waited while he told us that the water pump didn't work. So he said he took the whole thing apart. The engine, no, he didn't move the engine. He took everything out but the engine, practically, to get at the water pump. And he said, well, are you sure you can get a new water pump here? And he said, well, if you can't, I'll put it back and you'll stop at the next town and try. Well, fortunately, he got the one water pump in town and put it in. So we were off on our trip, and the next place we stopped was this beautiful little oasis where they grow dates. And grow dates and what else? Anyway, we met an American who was going fishing down at Cabo San Lucas, and we all had a few drinks together. And anyway, we had quite a time that night. You know, just celebrating being in this beautiful little
oasis.
Oh, no, we didn't just celebrate, because I took the car to this place to have, I wanted to have the water checked. So, he filled it full of water, but then he said, your tire is all stripped. So he changed the tire. The tire got stripped because we had been over some roads that have a lot of holes in them. I was going pretty fast. There wasn't any traffic. Anyway, it had just unraveled. But fortunately, we found that out in time, you know, and we got that taken care of. And we just ambled our way up to Ensenada. We stayed there a night, and then we crossed through Tijuana the day that I had insurance on my car. That I was to get the insurance on my car was to be effective May 15th, this was, and that was the day we came across the border.
Oh,
and I left, she had relatives in San Diego. We stayed there that night, and I had friends in Ramona, so then I drove to Ramona, and then I was coming to Long Beach. I decided on Long Beach because I had been in San Pedro, 1938 to 1940.
And you had worked in Long Beach.
I knew people, and I had worked in Long Beach. And my friend Virginia, a very good friend, had written me and said that she had a friend in Long Beach who was working in a progressive bookstore and was really needed very badly a volunteer worker to help out there. So I thought, well, this would be fine. This will give me a little something definite to do until I get acquainted there. So I came to Long Beach and found an apartment
became involved in PSAC.
That's right. Because while I was in Montanillo, I had more time to read. I was reading everything. All the time I had been in Mexico, we had been getting subscribed to various newspapers, and we kept up on everything, and we used to have a little group got together every Sunday night in our house, and we discussed the world situation, and the peace movement, I figured, really needed help, and that's what I was trying to get into. So
I did.
Oh, you already turned it
in. No, I'm...
Oh. So as soon as I got settled in the apartment, I decided it had been many, many years since I had seen my friends and relatives that I would take a little trip and get that over with before I got started working regularly and before I settled myself in the peace movement. So Mary was coming up because she leaves Montanillo every summer when it's hot. So the two of us started out together. But we made different stops, so we didn't went together all the time. My first stop was with Virginia, who was the one who had told me about the work that was needed in the bookstore. She lives near Yreka. So I took a bus. Mary and I took a bus together, and Mary went on to a nephew who lives just north of Yreka. Yreka. And I stopped at just south of Yreka, where Virginia lives. Now, Virginia was an actress. She was in a few movies, and one was Goodbye, Bathsheba, something like that. I mean, that was one that she knew, but she was just getting started in the movies when the McCarthy thing really got going to town on Hollywood, and she was blacklisted. And she had two sons. One of them lived in Yreka. We visited him. The other was in Palo Alto, and he had an antique store. He had been buying from us in Guadalajara for quite a few years. And so he has a store that is practically a block long, full of furniture. Now, he bought from us hundreds of pieces of bentwood, many roll-top desks, well, many things. He got into the business because, actually, he started with a little bentwood shop. And when he heard we had bentwood rockers, he started with that and gradually went into this. Anyway, that was my first stop. Then I went on to San Francisco, where I had friends. And Mary, in the meantime, she visited Oregon while I visited in San Francisco. And then we were going to meet in Gig Harbor, where we have a brother and his wife. And this is Robert. And the strange thing, we hadn't been in communication, had no idea what day Mary was getting there, but when Bob picked me up at the airport, Mary was in the car. He had picked her up from the bus station that very day. She had come from Oregon, and I had come from San Francisco. So we visited with Bob and his wife for a couple of weeks, and then she and I took the Amtrak train to Spokane, where my brother John is, with his wife, and John is very active in the left wing of the Democratic Party, and in the Unitarian Church, and in the Organization for Central America. Well, he formed many organizations there, and he writes letters, I think, probably every week there is a letter in the local paper by John Weaver. And so we stayed there a few days, and then we went on by Amtrak train to North Dakota, where we visited with a friend who was married to the brother of my friend Marion McGrath, who had been Marion, who
yes, saw been married
McGrath.
The time got yes. The
court,
yes.
Now we had known Inez and Ron was his name. We had known them for years because they used to come down to California when we had been here 1947 to 52. They used to come down every winter because it gets so cold in North Dakota the farmers can't do anything except drink. And so they would come down here, and we knew them very well. So we stopped off there for a while, and Mary from there took the Amtrak train to Connecticut, where she visited with a friend, and I flew to Winnipeg. I had the first flight south in North Dakota. I also talked to my friend Tom McGrath. He was in Minnesota, and he wanted me to stop there, but it really was not easy to get to Winnipeg from there, so I just talked to him on the telephone, and I visited my friend in Winnipeg for about a week, and then we went on to New York. Mary had arrived. She had visited my sister Polly in Connecticut, and I first visited I have a sister Persis in Rockaway Park. So then we met in Rockaway Park, and I visited later with my sister in Connecticut, who, by the way, is very active in all sorts of progressive organizations.
Good.
I mean, she goes to the city council meeting and is part of that, and she was a counselor for fellows who were drafted in the Vietnam War and didn't want
to... She was the editor of the Harper Republican.
That's right. Anyway, she is quite active in many local things and still is, as is my brother John in Spokane.
Yeah.
Then from New York, flew back to Mexico. I visited, made the round trip, visited France, and Mary came back there. Anyway, then I came back up here and settled definitely here and have gotten active in the Panthers and the Peace Network and Coalition for a Fair Budget and doing what I can for the
Alliance for Survival.
Yes, all the peace organizations practically.
Thank you very much, Margaret.